Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 60, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. And what follows, Psalter 60, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Mark 4, the verses 1 through 20. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Mark 4, the first 20 verses. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, but so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Thus far, the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord, it has pleased thee by renewal that we and our dear children, all travelers to that never-ending and all-decisive eternity, that by renewal we may have a place in thy house. And then we humbly beg of thee that thou wilt do in thy house what thou wast done in the realm of nature, where thou wast caused the wind to blow, and that there may have been those souls that have turned it into earnest prayer and a sincere request, as the bride of old has done. Awake, O north wind, come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the fruits may flow forth. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat of his pleasant fruits. Ah, Lord, thou knowest that those pleasant fruits, that they are a gift which thy dear Son has merited and which are granted by the Holy Spirit. May there have come up such fruits in this evening, because thou hast said that a contrite and a broken heart thou wilt not despise, and may thou grant those precious fruits. May there have been beggars to that end, that thou may be given to behold thine own work, because only what comes from above, by the work of the Spirit, that shall be pleasing to thee, O Lord. The work of thy Spirit, that is such a wonderful work, where it is his work to convert, to instruct, to uncover, to lead, to comfort, to encourage, to sanctify, and to seal. To that end, by renewal, then in this evening, then the seed of thy word shall be sown, And oh, then we humbly ask of thee that it may be accompanied by thy Spirit. Oh, we have heard of those whose ears would be stopped, that they would not be converted and their sins pardoned. Oh, Lord, when we have read it, may many prayers have been sent up unto thee, that we and our children may not be included among that people, but that it may please thee to work from generation to generation, our Lord. Then we have heard of different places where the seed has fallen and where it did not bear fruit, but also of the seed that is bore 30, 60, and 100-fold, our Lord. Do it then in this evening for thy great name's sake in the hearts of our boys and girls, in the hearts of our youth, in the hearts of the middle-aged, and in the hearts of the elderly ones. Do bless thy word to that end in the family circles. Do help fathers and mothers, grant them faithfulness, prayer, and a godly example. Bless thy word in the church, not only on the Lord's Day, but also the confession of faith class, the catechism classes, and do bless the house visitations. And do bless our Christian school. Thou hast granted in the past week that the annual meeting may take place. Well, to bless and prosper all that has been voted upon. Well, to continue to grant traveling mercies. Remember the administration, the principals. Remember all the instructors, and do remember the school board. We commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. Wilt thou remember our branch? We commend unto thee the leaders, the readers. May the word richly be blessed to the hearts of young and old, and in the day of tomorrow in the province, then election shall be held. Then we humbly ask thee, if it may be according to thy will, that thou may show tokens of thy favor and of thy mercy, that thou may grant leaders that have respect for thy holy word, and who have learned to bow their knees. Oh, do continue to remember and uphold the persecuted church. Remember the beloved for the Father's sake. Then thou was granted that one may be ordained to the full ministry of word and sacrament, O Lord. Do help him stand on his right and on his left, and that the richest blessings may be accompanied with the word that may be proclaimed in a nation and among a people that of such a bitter enmity against thy dear Son. May the veil hastily be removed. We commend unto thee our mission field, thy servant, the team, the family circles. Many times it cannot be different that they feel the distance separated from their congregation and from their dear ones. But may they experience in special ways that Thou art an everywhere present God, and to grant those special tokens that Thou knowest of them, and also of their labors, of the purpose. Then we commend unto Thee a handicapped daughter whom Thou wast wonderfully spared for another year when Thou granteth it, when she hopes to commemorate her 22nd birthday, Lord. Then she has been oftentimes in different hospitals, also in another country, with a long and serious operation, and then Thou wast brought her through. But Thou knowest the many difficulties, the pain, the discomfort that remains, and then it cannot be different at times, overwhelmed, discouraged, together with the family circle. May she be given to tell Thee all, and above all things, the saving of her never-dying soul. An old husband and father, together with his wife, hope to remember that Thou wast spared him for 89 years. Oh, then we commend him unto Thee for body and for soul. Remember all of our elderly ones in the evening of their life. Lord, do continue to remember all the mourning ones with those large empty places, and that out of that mourning, another mourning may come forth, and that is a mourning because of our sins, a mourning because of the missing of Thee, with an earnest begging that Thou may remember with the favor that Thou bearest unto Thy people. Ah, Lord, grant unto the family circles, when there are no empty places, when Thou continuest to spare, that there may indeed be those times that they may be given to pause and to consider all Thy mercies, Thy goodness, and Thy long-suffering, and that it may be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth to repentance, Lord. Do remember all the sick and afflicted ones. There are many amongst us, serious and grave concerns. Then we commend them all unto Thee. Do grant a place at Thy footstool, begging that the means may be blessed in so far that it may please Thee, and above all that the callings may be sanctified. Remember the crosses, remember the burdens, remember the scars, Lord. Remember our nation that is sunken so far into iniquity, departed so far from Thy laws and from Thy institutions. And then we also lay before Thee our southern neighbor, a country which is such a prominent place upon the earth, and where in former days Thou wast so often used them for the deliverance of many a country in bondage, and also upholding Christian values. But they have also departed very far from the desire and the ways of their founding fathers. And now in the near future, elections have been scheduled. Oh Lord, may it be carried upon the wings of prayer that thou giveth that country not completely over to the foolishness and the hardness of their hearts, but that thou may yet show a little mercy, and that there may yet be a returning unto thee, the living God. Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy gracious help in this hour. Grant thy spirit in speaking and in listening, and may it bear a rich fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Then it shall be an unforgettable service. May then the outgoing of this hour be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our transgressions, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 415, the stanzas 2, 4, and 10. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me, so that by thy Spirit guided clearly I thy paths may see. And what follows? Psalter 415, the stanzas 2, 4, and 10. Thank you. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 7, the question and answers 21 through 23. Question 21, what is true faith? Answer, true faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word, but also an assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others, but to me also, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. Question 22, what is then necessary for a Christian to believe? Answer, all things promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith briefly teach us. Question 23, what are these articles? We have heard them in this evening hour. Lord's Day 7, the question and answers 21 through 23 speak of the description of true saving faith, with three thoughts. In the first place, and not only a certain knowledge, secondly, but also an assured confidence, and thirdly, the word this faith believes. The description of true saving faith, and not only a certain knowledge, but also an assured confidence, and the word this faith believes. Beloved congregation, what is thy only comfort in life and death? Boys and girls, you know it. That is the first question of our catechism. And that comfort for the Church of God that the instructors are richly given to declare. But it needs to become personal. And now already we are at Lord's Day number 7. And may there be souls that have become so busy with that question, with many prayers sent to heaven, that the Lord may remember me with the favor that he bears unto his people. We are traveling to a never-ending eternity. The old must die, and the young can die. And then we have already heard much of a poor, uncovered sinner that has come to a place that he was given to bow under the justice of God, ascribing righteousness unto the Lord, and yet begging for a way to escape that well-deserved punishment. And then we have heard of a mediator. That mediator has been revealed, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the past Lord's Day we have heard that that mediator has come to save his chosen church. And then we have heard of that example, boys and girls, you can remember it, of that grafting in, that a branch was taken off of a bad tree, and then it was taken and placed in a good tree, in a vine. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, as we find it described in John 15. And now concerning that engrafting, it is a real thing. It is a blessed union. And that is a grafting that is always successful. It shall never fail. And then our children can understand it when an orchard man has done it. Then he comes oftentimes to look at that little branch, whether it is flourishing, whether it is growing. Then that branch needeth much pruning. And then the orchard man, then he comes to look for fruit. Think of the parable in Luke 13, the verses 6 through 9, that he has come to a fig tree, and that he has looked for fruit. And then at the end, the Lord takes his people home. And then was such a blessing. Then should it not be our earnest question, how does now a person, a soul, become partaker of that blessing? And then we have heard it, only those who are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. Thus the instructors, they have not first spoken of faith and the benefits, but they have first spoken of that engrafting. Thus then the instructors, then they are speaking of a one-sided work of free and sovereign grace, and as a fruit of that engrafting, then that little graft may become fruitful. And now concerning that faith, that is no merit. That faith is granted by the Spirit in the moment of regeneration in its essence, and for its exercise each time by renewal, by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. And now it is the wonderful work of the Spirit to create, to give that hand in the moment of regeneration. It is the work of the Spirit to strengthen that hand, same as boys and girls, as a little baby, that that hand becomes larger and stronger. Then it is the work of the Holy Spirit to empty that hand, everything of self, and then it is the work of the Spirit to fill that hand according to the several needs of the children of God. And that not only once, but each time by renewal. And now for the exercise of that faith, then the Lord has appointed the means of grace. Romans 10 verse 17, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And now in this evening, then we must consider and examine what real, true, genuine saving faith is. And that is written in the Holy Scriptures. And when the Lord works, then there are souls that have much exercises with those matters. Because odd that people can have so many riddles and so many questions and so many impossibilities. That prayer of that father with that afflicted boy, that is not a strange matter. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. What is true faith? Lord's Day 33, there's ask about true conversion. That implies that there can be matters that come so close and yet are not the saving work of the Holy Spirit. And then our instructors begin. A true faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word. Thus, not only a certain knowledge that speaks of historical faith, and then concerning that historical faith, we can overvalue it, even secretly. Think of the Pharisees and the Jews, where they have rested, that they were the children of Abram, and therein they secretly trusted that it would be well for them for that never-ending eternity. But there can also be an undervaluing. And that historical faith, because the true saving faith, that is a work in the heart, but that does not go outside of our understanding and a knowledge of what is written in God's holy word. And that historical faith, how do we obtain that historical faith? Then our boys and girls shall tell, then we must read the Bible, and we must come to church. And then for fathers and mothers, what a great and solemn responsibility. Because we have many exhortations, think of Deuteronomy 6, the verses 6 through 9, to speak to our children in the house when we lie down, when we rise, and when we travel. And in Psalm 78, the verses 4 through 7, that each generation is called upon to tell the next generation the wonderful works of the Lord, that they may set their hope on God and not forget His wonderful works. And we read in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from the same. When we think of the book of Judges, and especially the last chapters, what terrible things have happened in those chapters. And then in Judges 2 verse 10, there's plainly written, then there arose an other generation which knew not the works of the Lord, nor the wonderful works that He had done for Israel. And how come that there was a generation that did not know of those wonderful works? That is simple. Then those fathers and mothers have not taken the effort and the time. Of course, they had not the privileges we do, a Bible, a Psalter. Had to be all by memory. But they have not instructed their dear children. When we consider historical faith, then what a blessing the knowledge of the Scriptures is. Personally, family, church, and nation. We read in Psalm 33, verse 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." When we think of North America, then in earlier days, no perfection, young people, but then God's Word, then there was much historical knowledge, and upon that historical knowledge, and not only hearing, but doing the Word even in an outward way, then formerly, how richly the Lord has blessed us in so many ways. But we have departed. The Word has been removed from institutions of learnings and many other places. And then we must say with the prophet Jeremiah in Lamentations 5 verse 16, "The crown has fallen. Woe unto us that we have sinned. The crown is fallen from our head." And let us always remember a decline of historical knowledge that many times goes in a gradual way. Read in Ezekiel 9. That the glory has departed slowly, first on the threshold, before it has departed, and to that end, then what a solemn responsibility that we all have concerning the Word of God. But that historical knowledge in itself, that leaves us unconverted. That does not bring us into a saving relationship with the Lord. An historical knowledge by itself will not grant to do as the shepherds have done in Luke 2, when they have heard of that glorious message of that born Savior, that they have hasted to the manger that they have worshipped. We read the same of the wise men. Thus a blessing, but too short. And now it is written, true faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word. But then the instructor is given to speak of richer things, and that concerns the matters, how that the Lord converts a people, and by the work of the Spirit they are brought to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. Thus, when we consider true faith, there is also spoken of miraculous faith in the Bible. And that is a faith that centers more on the almighty power of God. And when the Lord works savingly, then we also have to do with that almighty power. Have many examples in the Bible, but it is not saving by itself. Thus we can experience answers upon prayer, wonderful deliverances that the Lord shows that there is nothing impossible for Him. And yet without the true work, the saving work of the Holy Spirit. Think of Luke 17. 10 lepers. They could not heal themselves. No other doctor. They have went to Jesus. They have cried and were given to believe that Jesus was able to heal them. And they were healed. But what do we read, boys and girls? How many have returned to give thanks to Jesus? One. And we do not read that of the other nine. What is true faith? When the Lord works by His Spirit, then those souls, they are given to examine their faith oftentimes. Oh, in the beginning, they do not dare to call it faith, but they know of those new desires. They know of those longings. They have learned what a sinner they are. They go bow down over the earth. And they are filled with such a jealousy for the people of God. They are busy with their never-dying souls. They are busy with death and eternity. They are exercised with the coming of His kingdom and the glory of His name. But now the question concerning true faith, because there are many examples in the Bible, it is true, between a temporal believer and true faith, there is actually a day and night difference. But how fearful oftentimes those souls can be. Oh, it is true, when it is lively, the love shed abroad in their heart, opening at the throne of heaven, when they may be given to glean with the Ruth, then they may believe it is true. But when it becomes quieter, then what a questions they can have. Then they have much trouble with an Esau who was sought repentance with tears. Then they are given to think of a Balaam who has received so much light that he has prophesied of the star of Jacob, was given to declare, "Let me die the death of the righteous." Then in that true examination out of the Word of God, then those souls may also be encouraged, because Balaam did not have a desire to live with that people. And when the Lord works, then they make that good choice of a Ruth, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." Then what a trouble they can have with Saul. How humble he was when he has come to the kingdom. And he was even given to prophesy. The people have said, "Is Saul among the prophets?" How troubled they can be with a Judas. How troubled, because Jesus, what a separating preaching. How often in His parables and in His teachings, He was given to separate the precious from the vile. We have heard the parable of the sower. Think of the wedding garment. Oh, think of Matthew 13. the parable of the wheat, and the enemy has sown the tares, and they seem to be so alike till at the end. Then how troubled those seeking souls. Then they are given to us, Lord, but it's still amiss. Thou hast not begun that good work. Well, thou then begin today, because I cannot live and I cannot die without thee. We have heard from Mark 4 of a solemn parable that a sower went out to sow, and that the seed has fallen on 4 different places: the wayside, picked away by the birds, by the devil, did not bear fruit. But then Christ has also spoken of the stony ground here, was promising. When the farmer came to look, there were patches that it was higher than the rest. What are now some characteristics? And O congregation, it lies so close together. Christ, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, then he is said in Matthew 7, the verses 21 through 23, that at the end there would be many that would say, Lord, Lord, even those that have prophesied in the Lord's name. And I shall say unto them, I never knew you. Then, as a general rule, then that stony ground here, it all goes so quick. It is true, the Lord is free. Think of Saul, in 3 days, has come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. But how deep it has went, that he has not partaken of any food for 3 days. There Saul has become the sinner, the lost sinner, the bowing sinner. And the gospel was opened unto him as a general rule. And it is true, can be, that the convictions can go so deep, and yet not the saving work of the Lord. As a general rule, then a temporal believer, then it goes more over the punishment of sin than over the character of sin. As a general rule, then they are more in the open, not so hidden. And then such a one, oftentimes, then they take the name of that precious mediator upon their lips, and instead of becoming poor, that they become richer. And then they travel on with their confession. And then the parable speaks of persecution and affliction, although can be to the very end. Think of Matthew 25, of the foolish and the wise virgins. Thus that is a people that they have become settled on their lees, resting upon what they have experienced. And as a general rule for those souls, then it becomes a foreign language. They can still speak Reformed, but what is written in Zephaniah 3, verse 12, that actually becomes strange for them. I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. And then in verse 13, a remnant that shall do no iniquity, but a remnant that shall feed in those green pastures of his word. Thus that is a people that poor life, oh, that deeper uncovering, that continually godly sorrow have experienced in the past, it lies behind, and now they can travel as a general rule so easily, although at times still troubled. But for the true people of God, then it remains a warfare, it remains a strife. And to that end, our instructors, they have given a short, a simple explanation of that true saving faith. Let us first sing. Psalter 73, the stanzas 1, 5, and 6. The Lord Almighty is my light, he is my Savior ever near. And since my strength is in his might, who can distress me or affright? What evil shall I fear, and what follows? Psalter 73, 1, 5, and 6. but also an assured confidence. And then we read, but also. Thus that means that it does not exclude that historical knowledge. And not to understand it in this way, that true saving faith is an historical knowledge with something added to it. But the instructors in our catechism, each time by renewal they stress, thus saith the Lord, what saith the Lord in his holy word? And now the instructors in our answer, then they are given to speak of the full assurance which the Spirit grants to his child, and the instructors, they are holding before us the pearl of great price, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to save his people, and the assured confidence to that end. We have heard from Reverend Hellenbrook, and then Reverend Hellenbrook has also added many proof texts to declare what he states, that it is scriptural, and that true saving faith consists of knowledge, assent, and truth. And our instructors, they speak of knowledge and confidence, which is the same as that trust. And now concerning that assured confidence, when we speak of true saving faith, then there are different measures. And even in the weakest saving faith, there is a certain measure of assurance that the living and true child of God is given to believe what is written in God's holy word. And to that in the scriptures we read of weak faith and of strong faith. And now when we read of that assured confidence, that is a trusting in the one that has spoken, that he is a God that cannot lie. Then in the second place, then we are given by the application of the Spirit to believe in the testimony which the Lord has given concerning the way of salvation. And then the instructors, they are given to speak, and not only for others, but to me also. Thus that assured confidence that speaks of a faith that brings into a relationship and that grants holy activity. Thomas Watson, when he has spoken and written concerning true saving faith, then he has listed some marks. Then it is the work of the Holy Spirit to make Jesus precious and lovely, and that the soul is given to hunger after him. And then in the second place, and then he was given to speak that true saving faith, that it works obedience. Saul, Samuel has said unto Saul in 1 Samuel 15 verse 22, to obey is better than sacrifice. Then Thomas Watson has also used the word assimilating. And that means, boys and girls, that a child of God becomes Christ-like. No, not perfect, but in beginning and in part. And then he has also spoken concerning that confidence, that true saving faith, that it is a renouncing everything that is of self. Ah, the Spirit shall teach his people that it is free and sovereign grace. Thus the instructors, they are given to speak of that full assurance, to arouse the church to what we have heard in this morning hour, that we may be led further. Because when the instructors speak of assured confidence, there's also a refuge stake in faith. The Bible is called a childlike faith. Matthew 18, verse 3, except ye become as a little child, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, a little child upon its mother's lap. Then they are given to feel comfortable. They trust mother. Mother feeds such a child, although that child does not know so much, needs to grow up. But now the instructors, they are given to speak what Christ has merited for his church, and therefore in a few simple words, but also an assured confidence, which the Holy Ghost, the instructors, each time by renewal, stress the work of the Holy Ghost. Works by the gospel, and we have heard last time that word gospel refers to everything that is written in God's word, because we have heard former Lord's Day that the sinner is uncovered. Works by the gospel in my heart. Thus an historical faith that is in our mind. Temporal faith can have much to do with our conscience, but the saving faith in my heart. And then the instructors, because the Lord has a people, the gospel may be opened, and they may be given to see such a preciousness and such a suitability in that only mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they may see that sufficiency, then it is possible for them, but those souls need the application. And then what precious words, but to me also are their souls. Is that what you stand in need of, people of God? How far may you come? It is true, in each exercise of faith, there is a certain measure of assurance. And now concerning that assurance, that depends what the soul is given to believe. Because in the 12 articles, there are many different matters that we are called upon to believe. God the Father Almighty, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the benefits which Christ has merited for his church. And now for the child. Oh, it is true. When the Lord comes over, when he grants special tokens, when they are traveling through the wilderness, they may have their Elims, those 12 water fountains, and those 70 palm trees, where they may rest, where they may delight. But for the child of God, then he must remain restless, till they find rest in God, until they come to this explanation of the full essence, the exercise of faith, not only to others, but to me also. And then benefits, and those are benefits that the true saving faith needs, desires, and prays for. There's the work of the Spirit to make room for those blessings. They are uncovered, and then to receive the remission of sin. Everlasting righteousness, to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ, and salvation, and to experience our freely, Isaiah 55 verse 1, without money and without price. Oh, what a precious invitation. And such needy souls, they have never been turned away. And they shall be able to tell what has taken place. Are freely given by God, that is God the Father, by the Holy Spirit, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. In that answer, congregation, with less we cannot do, and more we do not need, then it is well for the time, and then it is well for eternity. And then finally, the word that faith believes. What is then necessary for a Christian to believe? All things promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith briefly teach us. Thomas Boston, in his book concerning the covenant of grace and concerning the work of the Spirit, concerning the leadings of his church, then he has written, based upon the scriptures, that there is faith concerning the law and faith concerning the gospel. And to that end, the need for us and our children, that we may be given to prayerfully search and read the scriptures, and ask the Lord to grant his blessing, and that it may be used for the saving of our souls. The psalmist has declared in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, when we have come closer to the end of another Lord's Day, then we may humbly thank Thee, even if it is only with our tongue, that Thou was given another Lord's Day, that we may come up to Thy house insofar that it was possible, and that we may be given to hear Thy word. And now we humbly ask Thee, O Lord, wilt Thou grant Thy blessing to application, where that true faith is missed? Oh, wilt Thou work it in this hour? And where Thou hast begun that work, then it is also Thy work to uphold, to strengthen that faith, to grant the further leadings, because it is the work of the Spirit to make room for the precious mediatorial work of thy dear Son for the pardoning of sins. Lord, we may commence another week. We humbly ask thee that it may please thee to watch over us in the home. Remember and help the mothers with the family circle in the daytime, the night watches. Well, to remember at work so many different places and so many dangers. Well, to remember on the road and remember the children with the studies. We commend unto thee those that are called upon to work in the night watches, to care for the elderly, for the sick, and those that work in the emergency field. Well, thou take us under thy kind care, thy good protection. Keep us from sin and temptation. Oh, wilt thou keep us from an unexpected, but above all, from an unprepared death. Lord, we ask thy blessing over the catechism classes, the house visitations, and do bring us together for a weekday service when we may remember and commemorate thy wonderful works of old, where it has pleased thee to bring thy church out of the house of bondage, that the wonderful works of free and sovereign grace, that they may be declared, we may still have that heritage. We have a solemn responsibility. Lord, grant a prayer for one another. Bring us now safely to our dwellings. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 152, the first three stanzas. What time I am afraid, I put my trust in thee. In God I rest and praise his word, so rich and free. And what follows, Psalter 152, the first three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.